Let them know they screwed up.
Welcome in to another edition of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitter's machine. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, man? How bad are you at this damn committee?
Hey, buddy. I tell you what, man, I have seen it all. I have seen it all. Just prepare yourself. Just prepare yourself. The SEC is getting screwed. We're going to get left out. The best teams will not be in the college football playoffs. Just letting you know.
I'm not buying that. I don't know why would you say that?
Mike, have you seen just the top five alone should be enough to see exactly where this committee is thinking. They're not going to let more than three SEC teams in there just because they want to make it fair for everybody. You know, participation awards. That's what they're handing out there in the committee.
they got nine of the top 25.
Well, yeah, but they're not making it to the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? I think max three will make it to the playoffs. Max.
Man.
You just went. They're already just getting you ready, Mike. They're getting you ready. They're saying, hey, Texas is going to get in. All right. We'll find a way to get Georgia in. Just hang in there. You know, I feel that's coming. But I think some of these bubble teams that are sitting there right on the fringe are going to get left out for teams that are, you know, hey, I saw the committee come out and they said, Tennessee got jumped because this team had impressive wins, top 25 wins against Kansas State and SMU. I'm like, did you just hear what you said? Impressive win against SMU is why you should be in the playoffs? Jeez, SMU would get their asses stomped in the SEC.
Man, who stole your, I'm trying to think, not your ice cream cake, but who stole your Cinnabon right before you hopped on with this? I've never seen Shay this angry.
I've seen it. I've seen it with the BCS. Mm-hmm. I've seen it with the 4-team playoffs. I've seen it. And now it was like more teams get in. It's like, nah, not more SEC teams. More other teams are going to get in. It's like, what are we doing here?
Oh, buddy, I didn't know we were going to start like this, but you know how else I've always liked to start, Shane? Cousin JR, what a guy, what a guy. Every
Come
show,
on, cuz.
Gifting a membership. Cousin JR, hope you got your shirt that we sent your way. Big Money Mike, you are now a member. Welcome
to the family.
Thanks to JR, what a guy, what a guy. Michael Riley says, hey, Cousin Shane's seat is hotter than Napier's right now.
am I wrong? I mean, you know.
You're just, dead wrong.
Am I? I mean, just because they put them in the top 25, that gives you
Shane, did you even watch the show I did last night with the playoff reveal?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, it's like I'm freaking Nostradamus over here. And really, I can't take any of the credit. It's our buddy Dave Bartu and Adam McClintock. I read off. I'm like, here's what the ranking's going to be. And then they revealed it, and it's the same damn thing. So how do they do that? It's not voodoo. It's not voodoo magic, Shane. It's just a formula. And that's all this is. So whatever the committee says, it's all bullshit. Don't listen to a word of it. This team's got to win. This, that. Yeah. No. There's a formula. How else would I have known that, you know, 14 of the top 15 basically in order, unless this is all predetermined. And by the end of it, whatever the computer spits out. Yeah.
We'll be fine. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'll calm down.
But I ain't going to calm down, Shane, till you go over to my bookie. Come on, my bookie online sportsbook. Put in that promo code, that SEC. Fade Cousin Shane. Fade me. Listen to Steve. Steve's on a MyBookie lock of the week streak over here. MyBookie.ag presenting sponsor of the show this football season. What's that promo get you, Shane? Double your initial deposit today using that promo code THATSEC over at MyBookie. How about this one, Shane, real quick? We're about to do a mailbag here, but we got Cousin Daniel. Today's my birthday. Happy birthday, Cousin Daniel.
Happy birthday, cuz.
Big Mizzou guy. I appreciate you. I've heard Mike and Shane and all the other CFB cousins endorsing Mizzou for the playoffs comfortably, and they swear on their lives. So, yeah, there you go. It's his birthday, so guess what, Shane? Mizzou's getting
Mizzou's
in.
Making the playoffs.
Mizzou's in. They're a lock. They're come in. On. Thankfully, they're in the rankings. They're in the top 25. All you got to do is keep winning. Hell, you beat 21. You should jump into the top 20, I think, shouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is a big game for those just because they have to have this as a top 20 win. So, yeah, I think you catapult a few teams if you come out here and win.
Hey, how about this comment? Early leader for comment of the night. Catch me outside. We love a fired up Cousin Shane.
Oh, that's like going to Cracker Barrel, man. I went over there. They came out three biscuits. Me and my wife, which is okay. I get that. It's a good ratio. But none of the jellies. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do here? You know? So we asked for jellies. They come out with two jellies. And the jelly packs are like this, Mike. You know, it's like you need two for one roll. And I got three rolls there. And maybe that's why I'm so pissed off. Cracker Barrel got me going.
How about an indie clip? Here's another good comment. Shane is upset because Georgia's going to win and Tennessee will be left out.
Oh, man. Man. Hey, let them play. Let's see what happens.
All right. You ready to get into the mailbag, Shane?
Yeah, let's do it.
And shout out, if you're an official cousin, we always get your questions. Shout out Michael Raleigh. He asks great questions on every mailbag edition. We're going to start there. What are the most overrated and underrated SEC traditions? And really, ooh. I just wanted to do this one, Shane.
Yeah.
Because you just came back from Columbia, and everybody makes fun of those damn rocks. Yeah. Well, how were the give us the inside on the rocks first time seeing them up there?
Well, I guess it was a little overrated. I mean, there was nothing made big about them while I was there. You know,
they didn't paint them that day or anything, right?
No. We had the conversation. I talked to several out there about the rock and of course the expansion and them leaving that situation. You know, looked like a lot of people were having fun on the hill over there. But yeah, I don't know if that one. I mean, you know, honestly, from that game, the biggest one was they do a thing called Light the Dome. I believe that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Didn't even know that was a thing. And then all of a sudden, I guess after the win, they light the dome that's behind there. So,
right.
I would say that one was out of that particular game is one I didn't see coming.
And then what are any others that stand out to you? I mean, I think one that is, I don't know if it's underrated. It's just kind of a fun one. It's just the Vol Navy and how people literally pull up to the stadium on a boat. I know they do it some other places, but I don't know that they got a Navy out there. I mean, these people come days in advance. And I know you hate me talking about Georgia State, but
you knew
something was going to happen when that was the day one of the boats caught fire.
Yeah. No, the Vol Navy's always been kind of unique. And, I mean, when you think about all the college campuses and all the stadiums out there, you know, it's just something that Tennessee can offer that a lot of stadiums can't. And if you're ever out there and down there, man, they love to have a blast down there. And there's been several boats we've been down there drinking cold beers. So, yeah, Vol Navy is actually a pretty cool sight if you're ever down and catching a game in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. And
any overrated? I really like the Eagle flying in. I think that one doesn't get talked about near as much.
Right. I was thinking cigars for Tennessee, Alabama, but I'm not trying to be all Tennessee, but that's Alabama's as well. I thought it was stupid when Alabama won like 18 in a row, and then I'm like, this is one hell of a tradition.
I noticed more and more cigars coming out, so I don't know if that's a thing for everybody or just the Tennessee-Bama game. But, yeah, that one was always fun.
Gary's got a great one, Midnight Yell, one of the greatest traditions down there in A&M. So that's a good one.
I mean, think about that, getting there at midnight. Not a lot of people are going to do that. You know, not a lot of campuses can – like right now, could you try pulling that off in Vanderbilt? Could you try pulling that off in Auburn? I don't know. You may get some folks showing up, but, these are large crowds coming out there for that midnight yell.
Right. I mean, this is just what makes college football awesome, you know, all these traditions.
I miss the burning. I know some kids got hurt and stuff. You remember they used to stack up all that stuff and catch it on fire?
Right.
That seemed like right down college football alley, you know. I kind of wish they'd bring that one back, but like safely.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's another one. Mm,
What was that called? I don't know. Maybe A&M fans can help me out there. But, yeah, a lot of – I'm trying to think of any other. I should have been better prepared for this one. Because I know there's going to be some that were like, damn, I should have mentioned that.
Yeah, it was they called it the bonfire, Shane.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. How about this one, Shane?
Yeah.
From Be Creepy, another official cousin. Appreciate you, brother. If, no, this is the first time he said an if. Usually it's when. If Texas A&M wins the SEC title,
yeah,
does that not make the Gamecocks argument for a playoff even better? So, again, they whooped them. They whooped them good, Shane. So, let's imagine this scenario. A&M wins the SEC. Now, this is just the playoff bracket. But to get there, you have to imagine A&M beats Texas. Because I think that'll be crucial to actually getting into the SEC championship. Texas A&M would automatically be in the playoff as the SEC champ. So I think we just sub A&M for Texas. That's only going to help South Carolina. And if in his scenario, South Carolina has to win out. So they beat Missouri, they beat Clemson. That's sure as hell going to help. But I think they're still going to need a little chaos. But that's an interesting angle to think about that, you could say you were the only one in conference to beat the SEC champs.
No, I tried to imagine how I've seen this ever since the reveal, all these chaotic, scenarios that could happen where a 9-3 team gets in. But I truly think there's only a handful that could legitimately pull it off. I think the Georgia Bulldogs are one of them just because of their schedule. Yep. I think South Carolina could be one. In this scenario, if Texas A&M wins out, it helps them out. If they keep destroying football teams, I just don't know how you can leave them out. So South Carolina could be in the mix there. The only other one I've heard is maybe LSU or Bama. Is there any of those you would take kind of?
Well, LSU, the only path I think is.
Is just making the SEC?
Making the SEC championship and winning it.
Yeah.
I don't care. If they beat Florida, Vanderbilt, and Oklahoma and don't make the SEC championship, I don't think they're in.
Yeah. What about Bama? Can they lose anymore and still? Nah, they can't.
You're just like the national media over here singing. I'm just kidding. No, I think if Alabama loses, they've lost to Mercer, Oklahoma, or Auburn.
Yeah.
They do not. Yeah. They would not deserve to make the field, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, get out of here. So, all right. Yeah, I'm right there with you. South Carolina can do it. I think it just – you need Texas A&M to win, and you need South Carolina.
What about A&M, though? Like, what if what if they win out, but they lose in the SEC championship by a narrow margin? Oh. I think they could potentially get in as a 3-loss.
Man, that's a good one.
Because it's like, are we really going to dock an SEC, champion, not champion, but runner up? I mean,
for playing an extra game against another college football playoff team.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think you could do that. It'd be even better if like. If the scenario was you beat Texas, but they beat you in the SEC championship, it's like, well, they've played twice, and, I don't know.
And especially if you whooped their ass the first time, and the second one's a close game. You know what I mean?
I can tell you right now, these fans are not ready. They are not ready for a committee. They are not ready.
All right, how about, buddy. From Glad Yingling here. Does Oklahoma lose during the bye week this week?
I don't know. Maybe some injuries or somebody opts out or something. That would be a loss right there.
Did you see it, Shane, where the president and the AD, I guess it was. I know it was the AD, but they came out here and gave the dreaded vote of confidence. Brent Venables, he's our future. He's our guy. Mm. What do you make of that? Do you think anytime they give out the vote of confidence, I'm like, oh, this guy's a dead man walking.
Well, yes, but I don't know if that – I don't think he gets fired. I mean, he should. Maybe he should. I don't know. I just feel like that's something you say now because we're still in the heat of recruiting. You know, we're still right. in the – you're still trying to get kids to come in, and if everybody thinks you're not going to be there next year, it makes it pretty damn tough. So you definitely need your AD and president and anybody that has a voting power to kind of get behind you or just get rid of you, one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of Sooners, though, Shane. They're like, man, they look at the defensive stats I put out.
Yeah.
Sooners are elite there.
Yeah.
They say, we just give him an offense, we're good. But
yeah,
he's in charge of making those hires and recruiting the players. You know, as
yeah.
head coach, we can't just give him a damn pass. He's not a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I know. I saw Eddie down there with candles and shit trying to get, just will Oklahoma to be good at football. So, I don't know. You may be right. I mean, it may be a coordinator. You've seen it with Arkansas. You talk about bringing in a breath of fresh air, you know.
Missouri. I know the offense has sputtered this year, but that saved Drink's job, hiring an offensive coordinator,
yeah.
and he nailed it last season.
So, if you hit... You hit, man. And I think, you know, Venable showed us that he's elite with defense. And I have no doubt in my mind Oklahoma will always have an elite defense if he's there. But you need help. And obviously the experiment didn't work this year, but we're on to better, brighter things next year.
Hey, how about this one? This was specifically for you, buddy. Floyd the Barber.
Yeah.
Did Cousin Shane get to beat that drum down at Mizzou? I saw the photo with it, but you didn't get to beat it, did you?
No. I did not. But what was crazy to me was when I rolled in and I see it there. It's like not on the football field. It's not in the locker room or anything like that. It's like up and I was like, why can I not hit this? You know, I don't need the whole crowd to be there. I just give me a hammer and let me hit this thing, you know. But in fact, my initial thought was, is this it? I took a picture. I was like, I'm afraid to put this one out there because I don't even know if this is Big Mo or not. I just thought maybe it was like a smaller version or a doppelganger that they put up there so people can take their pictures in front of. But when I realized, I was like, well, damn, they made it sound almost impossible that I couldn't touch it. I'm like, there's a little rail that I could easily move to get over there and hit the damn thing. So, no, I did not get the hit, Mo, but I did get a picture next to it.
Hey, I'm surprised you knew the word doppelganger. That's impressive right there.
That's my word for the day, Mike.
Well, my word is thanks to Cousin Tyler Walker. He just became a member. Welcome
to the family.
So shout out, Tyler. Appreciate you, buddy. But I knew you'd love to share some more Mizzou insight after having such a good time up there.
Oh, yeah, we had a great time. I know people are sick and tired of hearing about Mizzou. I think my favorite – no, I'm not even going to say it. There's some funny comments out there. I think you guys are hilarious.
All right, how about this one, Shane?
Yes.
From Jesse Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Rank these coaches from worst to best. Jimbo Fisher last year.
Oof.
Starting pretty low. This year, Billy Napier.
Yeah.
And this year, Hugh Freeze.
Oh, man. I would say last year, Jimbo, worst.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that team instantly became an SEC championship contender as soon as he left. So, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think in that one, I would then say Hugh Freeze the second, and then Billy the third. And that's, I mean, they're close. It's tight. But I just feel like Billy... Some of his is more to do with, I mean, he ain't got a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? I feel like if he had a quarterback, they may be in or maybe won a few more of these games. But yeah, that's my order. Sticking
well,
with
Bobby's got it right, Shane. Hugh Freeze got to be dead. Come on, dead last. Their over under was like 7.5.
But talent,
where are we at? 3-6. There, Shane. Does Auburn got more talent than Cal? Yes. Does Auburn got more talent than Arkansas? Yes. Does Auburn got more talent than Vanderbilt? Yes. I mean, that ain't an excuse anymore.
Yeah, but Jimbo should have won 9 games last year.
Well, Freeze is about to win 4.
Well, I get that, but Jimbo didn't make a bowl game either. You know, he was sitting there at 5, so they're about to get their 4th one here. You know, I would say Again, I'm not saying that. I mean, not have a parade for Jimbo, but damn, do you not remember?
They won seven games last year.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Did they really?
Uh-huh.
I thought they had five.
Nope. See, I'm looking at it right now. 7-6.
Well, Jimbo didn't get them. Somebody else got
him. That's fair. That is fair. But I do agree, put Jimbo. But Billy Napier, this is sadly, this is probably maybe the best job he's done. But this may be his worst team.
Damn, you may have talked me into it. Maybe we should have put Hugh down there. Yeah. You know what? You talked me into it. I didn't know they got seven. I literally crossed them out of my mind. I tried to forget about Texas A&M. It's just crazy, though, just the talent that was down there, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, the transfer portal loved A&M last year.
Yeah, they're saying, Bobby says, Shane's a Jimbo hater.
Absolutely.
Yes. Emily says War Eagle, and Freeze is the worst. Your answer could certainly change, Shane, if Auburn gets upset by ULM, right?
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. I without a doubt. Hugh Freeze may get fired if he loses that one.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. You know what also all those coaches have in common, Shane?
Mm-mm.
They could use some cornbread ham. Come on, cornbreadham.com/SEC. What's that get you? Promo code SEC will get you 30% off your entire order over at Cornbread Hemp. What is this cornbread you keep going on about? It's America's first USDA organic THC gummy, and they also got CBD products. CBD, fantastic sleep gummies, help me sleep throughout the night thanks to Cornbread Hemp. Go check them out. This is a Kentucky business. I love businesses from the South. When we get to partner with them, Shane, it warms my heart and makes me want to have some of this cornbread hemp. Shout out cornbreadhemp.com. Again, that promo code SEC will get you 30% off your entire order. That way, if you're an Auburn fan, you're a Florida fan, or you were an A&M fan last year and you just want to forget it all, check out cornbreadhemp.com. Promo code SEC gets you 30% off your order.
Come on now. Remember when kids used to get in trouble for cornbread hemp? Remember that?
Not these days.
Not these days.
This is 100% legal. How about this one, Shay, from cousin Will Robinson?
Yes.
Great question here. Who do you see having the longest, and he also says the shortest, longest and shortest, so this is kind of a two-parter, tenures at their current schools? Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri?
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss? Josh Heupel, Tennessee. Who will stay there the longest? Who will last the shortest? Drink, Kiffin, Heupel. Go.
I'm going longest Heupel, shortest Lane Kiffin.
Ooh. What? Yeah. Why do you say that? Why, how dare you? You think Kiffin will jump ship somewhere?
Yeah, I think Kiffin's got it. There's going to come a day, Mike. It's going to come a day. He's out of there. Sorry, Ole Miss, but it may be after this year. You never know. I just think if the great opportunity comes up where he thinks that he could get it done easier, he's going to take that opportunity.
And what gives you confidence that Heupel will last the longest?
Longest, I just don't know if that system works in the NFL. I mean, short of him leaving to another university, which could happen. I mean, we talked about Oklahoma a couple times. I just don't know what the transition for Heupel, like, Drink, I could see potentially taking an NFL job. You know, I could see, I don't know if Lane takes one, but I do see that Heupel is just, he's just in a good spot here. And I feel like Tennessee fans, they know how bad it can be without him. So he could stay as long as he wants.
Yeah. And another way, fair or not, Shane, that you kind of have to look at a lot of these coaching jobs and how, now again, pressure gets mounted up certainly, but place like Tennessee, I mean, not that Missouri and Ole Miss, or I mean, they're kicking ass too. But in terms of NIL, and I'm saying they're kicking ass on the field, they're kicking ass in NIL, all three of these. But which program is built to sustain that? I would rank Tennessee number one for now.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, the way Ole Miss is winning this year, let's say they go on to the playoff, let's say they. And even if they don't win a game, which I think they'll win a couple. potentially in the play. I mean, that I would imagine they'll keep the money because all the people that donated will be like, all right, this is worth it. Let's keep giving. And you know, similar deal maybe with Missouri. I know it's been a little bit of a disappointment, but so I'm not saying that their NILs are bad by any means, but I'm just saying I think Tennessee's in the strongest position.
Yeah.
And like it or not, I mean, I think that's key for stability moving forward.
Yeah.
I like Tennessee's quarterback recruiting as well. That's going to help. But Lane Kiffin, man, had the young freshman come in and just diced up Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I've been hearing from some people, Shane, that they think he's better than Jackson Dart. Oh. How about that? So imagine their next quarterback is even better. I mean, how high could Ole Miss go with him? I mean, that's pretty interesting, isn't it?
I think it all hinges on national championship. I know it sounds crazy for Ole Miss, a team that's not even been to an SEC championship. But I feel like if he can win it, then there's a chance Lane Kiffin never leaves. Because it can be done. It can be repeated. But if he falls short, and maybe it's by what quote-unquote more talented team, then I feel like there's got to be that little devil on your shoulder saying, well, if you were in Georgia, you know, or if you were in Florida, or if you were in Tennessee, you know, one of these places that maybe have a little bit easier path to getting some of those top 250 recruits, then maybe you consider it. So I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I think Kiffin is the one that could ultimately be at his school the longest because Ole Miss will never fire him. But you see what I'm saying?
D-Train says, is Lane leaving? Is that Shane's lock? Because he's trying to figure out which way to bet. One way or another. And then one other one. This was the best comment so far the whole night. I'm trying to find it again. Oh, man. Dang it. I think I lost it for good. But someone said, it looks like little Shane sleeping on your shoulder there with the T-shirt. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Shout out David Cleveland. Best little Shane looks passed out on Shane's shoulder there.
He's had a rough night, man. Yeah.
But look at it this way, too. Kiffin's got a daughter at Ole Miss. Yeah. Sounds like his son may go to Ole Miss. I mean, I don't know. Who the hell knows? But if he does, that's just going to strengthen his ties there. And you're talking about winning and winning big at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they'll do this. I don't know what it is people have against, like, I guess just because we grow up with, like, Bryant-Denny Stadium, right?
Yeah.
But how in the hell do they not put Saban's name? I know they gave him the field or whatever, like, That's so stupid. I mean, he's literally the greatest coach of all time. You don't put his name on the stadium. So we're used to Neyland Stadium. We're used to Vaught Hemingway. But if Lane Kiffin wins a national championship, they won't do it while he's there. You should never do it while they're there. But as soon as he leaves or retires or whatever, I think you name that damn thing Kiffin Stadium or something.
Just again, think about it. Where they were to where they are,
right?
He's totally changed standards and expectations down there. So I'm right there with you.
Boy, give him a statue, rename it Kiffin Juice Stadium.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. That does not work together, Mike. We'll get a committee on that one.
Okay. Well, it's him and the dog, you know.
Yeah, no, I get it. It just did not sound it sounded, well.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. All right, how about this one from Tristan Brown? Should a two-loss team losing in the SEC championship have any effect on their playoff chances? Now, that's going to get tricky, Shane. It's going to get tricky. The same man that he was on the show about a week ago, broke this all down, who's got the formula. He says 5 out of 10 years this has happened where a two-loss team went into the SEC championship weekend, ranked 8th or lower. They lose. They're outside the top 12.
Yeah.
So should it? I don't think it should. Will it? I think it will. And everybody says, well, this is a different era, blah, blah. It's the same damn thing.
It is.
The man picks the same. He knows the 4 every year. He knows the 12 now. They've not changed anything. So just based on that, I think it'll kill you. If you have two losses and you lose in the SEC championship, I don't think it's right, but I think they'll boot you out.
Yeah, I don't think it's right either. It's almost like you have more to lose playing that game than you do to win. And can a 2-loss or 3-loss get in there and find their ways into a college football playoffs? Absolutely. But more than likely, somebody's going to find themselves outside of the playoffs because of a loss in that game. So,
and how pissed is that coach and that school and those fans going to be if that happens, you know?
It's going to suck. It's going to absolutely suck because there's another 2-loss team that's sitting out there that probably gets in, probably would have had the same results if they were there, but they get in because they didn't have to play that stupid game. So, and I don't want to call it stupid. I love the SEC championship, but I do think that there should be some sort of bubble around it where it's win, lose, does not matter, does not affect you kind of thing, you know, but it does.
No, nobody wants to play in that now.
No, it's almost like a bowl game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's almost like those, New Year's Day bowl games and you just, or, you know, not maybe not that one, but a Duke's Mayo bowl or something.
You know what they should do? And shout out, one of the cousins gave us this suggestion. It shouldn't be 1 and 2. It should be like 5 and 6 that play in the SEC championship. And the winner gets to go to the playoff. That's what they should do.
Or 1 and 2 get an automatic bid. You know, just eliminate the
scenarios. They're not going to eliminate it. They make millions and millions, like $50 million from it.
No, I'm just saying, if you make it into the SEC championship, you automatically get a pass into the playoffs. Now, you may get a bye.
But there's nothing to play for then. You might as well sit all your starters.
Well, in that scenario, though, you're playing for an SEC championship, the best team in the conference. I don't know. I mean,
No one cares. No one will care.
The best-case scenario gives you a home field or a bye week. That's a big deal.
Nah. I like playing with something on the line.
What if you lose? You just, like, you have to go on the road somewhere, you know? I don't know. I think you can make it. I mean, it's important. So,
yeah, okay, you're wrong, but I'm right.
No,
right.
No. Well, then how do you fix it? How do you fix it? How do you make it where
it's a play-in. I think it's a play-in game. I think that would fix it. Mm. Make it that way. It is a playoff game.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that. I don't know.
All right. All right. So now the SEC championship doesn't have the best two teams in there.
Yeah.
No, that's ridiculous.
They should just change the name to like the SEC play-in Loser. Game.
The NIL, yeah.
Yeah, the NIT.
Yeah. Yeah, NIT, sorry.
How about this one, Shane, from Texas Mudcat. Does Texas have a better shot of making the playoff if they lose to Arkansas but beat A&M rather than the reverse? So he's saying... let me throw up her schedule. Lose to Arkansas but beat A&M. Does that get us in as opposed to beat Arkansas but lose to A&M?
Yes.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. That's a great question, Mike.
Right.
I think because the committee's shown us that they care more about the wins than the losses. I feel like a loss against Arkansas can be redeemed if you beat an A&M team, especially if A&M has not lost a game in these next 3 weeks.
So if I'm Sam Pittman, I'm sending this over to Sark and all the players, like, you don't need this one. You don't. You need A&M. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's if I'm a Razorback, I'm bringing signs. You don't need this one. You know.
Sit your starter. Get rest. You're going to need them for A&M.
How about this one, Shane, from Brandon T.? Do you view Tennessee, Georgia as an elimination game? And obviously he's talking about the playoff, I would imagine, here.
Yeah. Personally, no. But obviously it's more of an elimination game for Tennessee.
I think. Really?
I guess Georgia is a mix now.
I think it's an elimination for Georgia. Tennessee's still alive.
How?
With two.
They dropped. They dropped on they had two teams pass them this week, even though they got a win, even though Nico didn't play a half. It's like, nah, Tennessee. I mean, I just rewatched that Tennessee game. I mean, it could have been, and I hate to say could have, but it could have been 21-28 nothing right out of the gate. And I think if they would have just destroyed Mississippi State, I don't think those other teams would have passed them. But Tennessee's one of those bubble teams that they keep looking back and they say, well, you know, this team automatically sucks now. You know, remember how big that game was with Oklahoma? Well, they suck now. You remember how big that game with NC State was? They suck now. And now it's like, okay, Georgia's your – forget Alabama. Forget that you beat them. It was at home, and it was a close one. But if you lose to Georgia, you're out, which is kind of bullshit. So I don't think it should be an elimination, but I think that this committee is going to find it as an elimination game.
Here's how it happens.
All right.
Tennessee loses. They'll be out of the bracket next week.
Yeah.
But all you need is Notre Dame to lose or Alabama or Ole Miss, or, you know, you just need Texas or A&M. One of them's going to lose. We'll eliminate one or the other. You just need a little – you're going to need help, but you are not eliminated. I promise you that. Ohio State, Indiana are going to play. One of them may eliminate the other.
Yeah. How far does Tennessee fall out if they lose this game?
They're probably like their eighth. They'll probably be around 14.
14. So in front of A&M still. Well, A&M is going to win probably, maybe.
Right. So A&M's fine because they got Texas still.
Yeah.
So they can leapfrog them, if that makes sense. Right.
Yeah, I just don't see it that way.
We just got the question. What if you go to the SEC championship, you lose?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be Alabama. Alabama's already at two. If they get a third loss and Tennessee says, "Hey, we beat those bastards," Alabama's out. Tennessee's in. That's another way you get in there.
So if Alabama loses in the SEC championship, you think Tennessee would pass them, even if they got a loss with Georgia?
Right, because now you're talking a three-loss Alabama versus a two-loss Tennessee, and the two-loss Tennessee beat Alabama.
I'm telling you what, Disney loves that logo. They're going to want it in there. Going to want it in there.
Disney. how about this one? Chase, appreciate you. Gave us $10. Despite the unknowns at quarterback, shouldn't we Vol fans at least be confident in our D holding a mediocre Georgia offense to low scoring and make it ugly? Our D has been the only for sure thing. Big Orange. What you think about that, Shane?
Yeah. Yeah, because if you look at maybe Georgia's games, I mean, it's been the offense that has been abysmal. And,
right,
you know, pretending that Georgia has just miraculously going to put together a complete game, I'm not ready to say that. And Tennessee, like you said, they'll get you behind the sticks. They'll create turnovers. They'll have short field situations. Hopefully, take the crowd noise out of it. So yes, this is one of the, if not the best defense in the country. And Georgia has not shown me anything here the last couple of weeks to say, hey, we're just going to go over here and steamroll Tennessee. So you're right, defense is going to keep them in it. The problem is just you got to have something out of the offense. If you don't, then Georgia will be able to do enough to get points on the board.
How about this, Shane? So I asked Steven this, so I'll ask you as well. Tennessee is not allowed 20 points in a single game.
Yep.
Will Georgia become the first to score 20 points on the Vols?
I think they have the best shot for it out of all of them, but I don't know. I don't see anything. I don't see four touchdowns.
Right. So basically, the point being, if you get to 21,
yeah,
that may be enough to win this football game if you're Georgia or Tennessee.
Right. Exactly.
And you know who else will win? Edges. Come on, Edges.
Come on now.
Welcome to the family. He just became a member to the channel. We appreciate you, brother. But I just think it's going to be interesting, Shane. It should be pretty low scoring this week in Athens.
Well, it's just funny because we're going to keep arguing with these scenarios and arguing with, you know what? After next Saturday, we're going to be saying the same thing about the following 2 weeks. It's going to come down to the wire, Mike, and there is going to be a couple of fan bases excited, and there's going to be a couple of them but hurt. And you just hope it's not yours, you know?
Right. And all this talk, Shane, tiebreakers, who's making the end, this, that. It can all be cleaned up. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it's very plausible. Tennessee wins this weekend.
Yeah.
A&M beats Texas at home. Those are your SEC. That's your SEC game. That's your championship. Yeah. And it's not even. They'll be the only team. I mean, it could be as clean as that, because Tennessee has one conference loss. A&M has one conference loss. They would automatically be the SEC championship, and it may just be as simple as that after a month of all this debate and scenario and this, that. Yeah, you know what?
We'd have to build one big-ass bonfire, Mike.
Well, speaking of all these scenarios, Shay, Jack Gallagher, who would you leave out? Assuming these are all 10-2 Georgia, 10-2 Tennessee, which would mean Georgia beat Tennessee.
Yeah.
10-2 Ole Miss. Well, Ole Miss beat Georgia. Or 10-3. So he's already jumping ahead, Shane, to say Bama made the SEC championship and lost. Who would you leave out? I guess we'll only leave out one. 10-2 Georgia, 10-2 Tennessee, 10-2 Ole Miss, or 10-3 Alabama.
See you, Bama. Yeah. See ya. You got beat by Tennessee. I think as much as I want to give them credit for the Georgia game, that was a long time ago. The only other comparison is I just think Ole Miss beating Georgia kind of sealed the deal for them. They've had enough good wins to get in. So,
and they've not been blown out a single time.
No. It's close one to LSU. I mean, that one could have went either way. Obviously, the Kentucky one's going to be a black eye on the resume for a long time. But, yeah, I think three losses, you're out, you know.
I think it really depends also on how does this Georgia-Tennessee game play out.
Mm-hmm.
Does Tennessee get whooped? Yep. Is it an overtime game? Does Georgia win by a field goal? You know, I mean, there's a lot of variables. How does Alabama get that third loss? Is it a 20-point loss? Is it a two-point loss?
Did the ref get involved, you know?
Hey, how about Tyler? Appreciate you, Tyler. He just gave us $5. Kirby lost those two games on purpose to avoid the SEC championship. A Georgia fan that misses Stetson.
Oh, God. And that's what sucks is I think the committee screwed up last year but not letting them in. You know, that year, that Georgia team last year, I felt like could have won the whole thing, you know?
But yeah.
That's why I have no confidence in them moving forward. But, again, it's on the teams. I can't blame the committee if your football team keeps losing football games, you know? So,
right.
At the end of the day, you just got to keep winning.
Hey, shout out Cousin Phil. Thoughts and prayers, man. He says, hey, guys, I just jumped on. I don't have much time tonight. My daughter's been in the hospital. Do you guys have any info on whether Nico's going to play or not? So sorry to hear that, Phil. Hopefully everything works out for you. But, yeah, the latest, Nico practiced. Mm-hmm. He's continuing to progress. I think he's going to play, and I think it's very likely that he plays at this point. So that's where I'm at. I think the only thing that's going to keep him out is if he suffers a setback. And I've not heard any. We still got a couple days to go, but I have not heard a single setback here for Nico. So I think odds are looking pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's good news. But, Phil, again, if you need anything, just let us know.
Yeah, no doubt. How about this one, Shane? From Darth Vall.
Nice. Nice name.
What a name, yeah. Tennessee, 10-2. Ole Miss, 10-2. Is the Alabama win better than the Georgia win? Is the Arkansas loss better than the Kentucky loss? All these scenarios. Why should Ole Miss get in before Tennessee if Tennessee loses to Georgia? So basically we're just comparing the resumes of Tennessee and Ole Miss. You know, that is interesting, Shane. That is interesting because again, shout out our guy Dave Bartu, who does he's got the formula, right? I keep saying that. That's all this is. This is a formula. There's only one team, Shane, that is in the top 15.
Mm-hmm.
The committee looks at this. Bad losses.
Yep.
There's only one bad loss among all the top 15. Can you take a wild guess? What is the committee views as the worst loss among all the
Kentucky, national, Ole Miss.
Yep, you nailed it. That's the one. So that's killing Ole Miss. Arkansas is not considered a bad loss because they're 5-4. What's a bad loss, Shane? Any team that is not 500. So
it could be a bad loss if Arkansas keeps losing.
But right now, Tennessee's got the edge, at least in bad losses. And when it comes to best win, I mean, technically Alabama's ranked higher than Georgia, so I think Tennessee would have the edge there as well. So, I mean, it's an interesting point. I could see why a Tennessee fan would say, hey, we deserve to get in over Ole Miss. I think we're splitting hairs, but a lot of these data points say Tennessee is a little bit better than Ole Miss.
Yeah, I just because of the loss. I think the Kentucky one, even though it was a little bit earlier in the season, that was just such a bad one. Every time Kentucky loses, it looks even worse. But the Arkansas one, you could argue, I mean, they were a fringe 25 team at that time, probably the healthiest they ever were. And, you know, home field advantage. So,
And someone just asked, how is Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois? How's that not the worst? But again, listen to what I'm saying. Bad loss. And this is not me saying it. This is the playoff committee. A loss to a team that's under 500. Northern Illinois is 5-4.
No, so, okay, I was about to pull that up.
But again, I get, and I'm sure it's being typed right now. Well, they ain't SEC. They wouldn't be 5-4. I get it. But that's not how they do it. I'm sure they'd be 1-9 in the SEC, you know, or whatever. But that's not how they do it. So I agree. I mean, I think that I would rather have Tennessee and Ole Miss in here than stupid Notre Dame. I think they've earned it, you know?
Well, and I don't think the schedule, a sub 500, an NIU schedule is a lot different than a Arkansas schedule.
Right. You know? So, I hear you, but I'm just telling you, this is the.
But just hinge all your points as like, oh, well, they're sub 500. Okay.
What? Right. Well, they did beat A&M. We got to give Notre Dame that. But their next best win. Yeah. They beat Louisville too, I guess. But they beat Navy. Navy's one of their marquee wins.
Mm-mm-mm. What's the rest of their schedule? What do they got?
Notre Dame?
Yeah.
They got Virginia upcoming.
School of the Blind.
Yep. And then Army, which Army is currently ranked. And then at Southern Cal. So if you're an SEC team that's here on the bubble or even in that is not a lock, you're rooting for Notre Dame's got to lose enough because that's a free spot that comes open.
Okay. Yeah.
So root like hell against Notre Dame.
Good for Notre Dame. Always finding a way to us to talk about it. Every single year we're talking about Notre Dame, aren't we? You know, just crazy to me.
So Notre Dame losing would help us all, Shane.
Yes.
But if you know, before we get to that, you know how else you can help yourself?
How can you help yourself?
Go to BetterHelp. Come on, BetterHelp. This show sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com/SEC. That promo code SEC over at BetterHelp, that's Better H-E-L-P, will get you 10% off your first month over at BetterHelp Online Therapy. Just head on over there. Quick questionnaire. They match you with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like that therapist, you Billy Napier his ass and you get you a Lane Kiffin, Shane, over at BetterHelp.com. And don't forget that promo code SEC, get you 10% off your entire over your first month over at BetterHelp. And hey, shout out Cousin Phil. How about it? If Tennessee is kept out with two losses, the committee needs to be investigated for bias. Full stop. I agree with that, Phil. It'd be
thank
some
you,
BS.
Cuz.
I mean, this is the SEC. Remember, Shane, in the offseason, we were all 10-2 in this conference. Not only are you in, you're a lock.
Yes.
You probably win the whole damn thing. Now we're sitting here with 8-10-2 teams. We're like, oh, no. How's this going to happen?
You know? Nightmare scenario. Everybody's 10-2.
Right. So I don't – oh, man, this is getting wild here. And this is why, you know, I'm starting to figure out it's very easy. We're not kissing this guy's ass because we never – quite frankly, we never really have, Shane. But Greg Sankey. He knows what the heck he's doing, clearly. Yes. And he has been pushing and pushing and pushing for more SEC teams, expanding the playoff. And I think he had the foresight to know this was coming when they added Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah.
That we're going to have this log jam where there's going to be all these teams. And how the hell do you leave one out for a Notre Dame or a SMU or something stupid like that. Right. And the only way to get more and more of these SEC teams that deserve to be in is to expand this thing. So I think he knew this was coming.
Well, he's got to. And at the end of the day, it's about money, Mike. And when you look at games like Texas and Georgia and millions of viewers, it's like that's ultimately what these TV deals want. This is what these bowls want, all these huge sponsors. People want more eyes on that football game. So nothing against
BYU, SMU?
No, not BYU, not SMU, not Notre Dame. Well, maybe Notre Dame. You know, I could see why they're getting some play time, but you know, an Indiana. I mean, that's not going to get people watching. And at the end of the day, I think that's what it's all going to be about. So, don't get me wrong. I've kind of talked myself off the ledge here, Mike, and I do think ultimately there'll be some backdoor conversations and say, hey, come on, guys, we know what we're doing here. Don't bite the mouth or bite the hand that feeds us, you know?
Right. And then how about this one from Steven Walters? I love this question, Shane. Which SEC team will have an end of season explosion, and why is it the Vols?
Yes.
So I think what he's trying to say, you know, what team will break out here? And it could be Tennessee, but I have another one. Is there one that sticks out to you?
Tennessee Vols, just because they've been close. And I was just telling you, the Mississippi State game, Mississippi State's a team that's given a lot of SEC squads fits.
Yeah.
But they've just been a little bit off, you know. And even in this game, there was a couple of passes that were maybe a little too long or, you know, maybe too much commitment to the run game or something like that. But if Tennessee starts hitting the way that I think they can hit, they're so damn close, Mike, this is a ball club similar to 22 that could put up 40 points in a hurry. But now they got a defense that is perfect for this offense, because not only is it aggressive, but it's deep, and it's something that they can, even if the offense does score in droves, they have enough personnel here to keep rotated.
I got a different one for you.
Yes.
And I think it's already started. Ole Miss.
Mm.
Man, they're on a heater, aren't they? I mean, and even that South Carolina win has looked better and better. They're the only one to whoop South Carolina's ass.
Yep.
Should have beat LSU, but you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Ever since then, Kiffin said it best. We've been in playoff mode,
yeah.
And it's serving them well, and they're whooping everybody they play. So I think it's Ole Miss. But let me flip it. He didn't ask this, but I thought it would just be fun. So shout out Steven again for the question. He says, "What team's most likely to explode? What team's most likely to implode?" And go to disaster. Is there any that come to mind? I've got one that I think could implode. Would you like to hear mine first?
No, I want to go first because that's what I do. No, I'm just kidding. You can go. I've got one, and I want to see if it's the same one because then I may pivot.
LSU, come on, brother. I mean, only a 5.5 point favorite, depending on where you look, against Florida. If you lose to Florida, you've lost three in a row. Next thing you know, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's a joke. They can't beat. Oh my God, we just lost to Vanderbilt. And then, I mean, Oklahoma could be playing for their coach. They could be playing for their bowl hope. I mean, there's a lot on. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, Shane. They've won games they should have lost.
Yeah.
They could lose some games they should have won. I think this is the team that could implode here.
Whew, you may be right. You may be right. I was
give us just a different one though.
Yeah, different one. Georgia Bulldogs. Ooh. Yeah, I just think that I'm not worried about the UMass Georgia Tech thing, but losing to Tennessee is quote unquote imploding. If you're talking about a Kirby Smart football team, this is a program that was destined for national championships, SEC championships, Heisman winners, and I feel like if they lose potentially to a quarterbackless Tennessee Volunteer, absolute meltdown in Athens. Being left out, I just feel like that would be a disaster for them.
If Tennessee beats Georgia, will any of the Bulldogs celebrate with the Vols on the field?
Yeah, maybe.
God, imagine what you just said, though, Shane. And I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. Yeah. They should have been three-time back-to-back-to-back national champion. Yes. And instead missed the playoffs that they probably would have won still if they made it last year.
Mm-hmm.
To missing it 2 years after expanding. Good night. Man, Kirby would fire and brimstone.
Just think about it. Just topically, Mike, you go out here, you steal the best running back in the SEC from Florida. You take Vanderbilt's best receiver up there in Nashville. You know, year four, you're going up to Mizzou, and you're still in one of their best receivers, if not the best at the time. Yeah. It's like you've got this persona of just going out, taking whatever you want to make a better football team, and now we're sitting here at an opportunity to not make a college football playoff after three losses. So, you know, sometimes it's a small window, Mike. Sometimes to be great and to stay on there like Nick Saban has done, it is very rare to do it year after year after year, and we may start seeing a little slippage if that happens.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out Phil one more time here. I bet my house and my neighbor's house that every single top 25 SEC team would beat the brakes off Indiana, BYU, Notre Dame, and the rest of these cupcakes.
I agree
100%, Phil. Well
that's,
said.
That's what, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what drives me nuts. The committee, there's, I don't know, there could be 50 of them in there, it could be 12 of them, but it needs to be 12 that says, can this team, just like your power rankings, if we put them on a neutral site, will Team A compete with Team B? If the answer is no, if Vegas comes out and says they are a 17-point underdog, then guess what? They're not the best top 12 teams. Now, you win your conference, I get it. You're in there. But if you're not, and we got one of these bubble teams, like if Indiana loses Ohio State, I don't ever want to hear about Indiana again. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I'm at in this scenario. And I know other people say it too, but
yeah,
you really just got to ask the realistic questions.
How about this one, Shane? Now we're getting into the food questions, the part you
wrote. All right. Come on now.
Food and drink. Shout out Houston Ray, Cousin Houston. Mm-hmm. Sam Pittman versus Cousin Shane, beer chugging contest. Who wins?
It's got to be me, Mike. Got to be me. Sam's lost some weight. I don't know if he's on Ozempic or what, but he can't hang with me right now. So back in the day, prime Sam would have done circles around me. I just think I got him now. He's a little bit older.
Okay. How about this one, Shane, from Cinephile Matt?
Yeah.
First of all, do you know what a cinephile is, Shane? It's not bad.
I only got one word, Mike. No. And this was not it.
It's a movie lover.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I just want to throw, I didn't know if you knew what that word meant. But
of course, Mike.
Is lasagna technically a cheesecake? Need an answer from Cousin Shane.
Shit. Oh, that's a good question, man.
Never thought about that till he asked it.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say it is not. It's maybe more like a beefcake, you know, but I do see the scenario there, but I'm going to say no.
You're putting a lot of beef in your lasagna. Mine's mostly noodles and cheese.
Oh, no, you got to have beef. I love cheese and layers, you know, and cheesecake. Not all cheesecake has layers, so, you know, I'm just going to say no. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But it is intriguing. It does got me thinking.
All right, and then from Trey Tucker, always ask great questions here. One football, one non here. If Nico does not play, what are Tennessee's odds of winning if Carson Beck plays like he did against Ole Miss? So essentially not, you know, zero touchdowns, one pick. Yeah, again, it was raining. Georgia fans, they're not – surely they wouldn't use that excuse, would they? But what are your thoughts there, Shane?
35% without Nico. 35.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And is that greater than Mizzou's odds to make the playoffs?
Oh, man. No, I would say Mizzou's. I mean, Mizzou's, ultimately, I think this is the biggest week of their season. And getting past South Carolina, then I think, I don't want to say it's downhill because there's still some tough losable games on there, but I feel like you get past this hump, you're in good shape to kind of make that argument for 10-2. So I'd put them at 36%. So slightly.
All right. That last one from Trey here. What was the biggest scam as a kid for snacks and food? Example, ooh, those stupid fruit juice barrels. Remember those? And he says space ice cream. I don't know if I quite remember space ice cream unless he's talking about the Dippin' Dots.
Man, that is some good questions, Mike.
What'd you hate as a kid?
I hated, well, for starters, never be a sponsor, but McDonald's did that Monopoly thing.
Yeah.
And that wrecked me, man. That absolutely wrecked me. That's when I knew what gambling was all about. When you're doing like a 14 parlay or you're doing a scratcher, you know, it's like you just need one more sticker. And we're winning $1 million, and I'm buying mom a nice house, you know, and you're never going to get Parkway. Doesn't matter how many burgers you get or I went through a lot, man.
Hey, speaking of that, have you ever seen the documentary on that on HBO?
Nuh-uh, no.
Is it good? It was all a scam. They infiltrated it, and they...
Them motherfuckers.
Anytime they had the boardwalk, they would take it out. So you never could get a shot at it.
That's it. I mean,
did you ever hear the urban legend where like someone like dropped off boardwalk at a church?
No,
that it really happened, and it was these people because they were like, we've ripped it off so many times.
Yeah,
they're like, we feel bad. Let's give $1 million to the church over here. And the way the scams work, you know, if you just kept cashing in $1 million, they'd be like, wait a second, you found three of these. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what they would do is like someone that you work with, I'd give it to them. And then they'd have to give me like $300,000, but they'd get $700,000. It was all a big scam. Speaking of scams,
you just ruined. What's that BetterHelp number again?
No, it's really worth checking out. It's really cool.
Jeez, no, I did not know that. Well, I just thought we had bad luck there at the house because we went through a lot of them. I was your size, you know, before I got into the McDonald's race for. You know, I blame my obesity on the Monopoly game. So that one was a big one. You know, I think Capri Sun should have been bigger growing up. I guess that's another one. The straw was a little sus sometimes. You know, if you couldn't get that to work, you were just screwed. So,
right.
Yeah. Those are a couple of ones. What do you got?
Did you ever eat those Lunchables where it was like, they'd come with like a little crust and it was your pizza and then it would have the sauce and you put the cheese and I don't know. That was cool at first, but then. I don't know. It's like I ate one. My mom's like, oh, he loves those. It was every day I had to eat that, and it was not good.
Yeah, we couldn't afford Lunchables growing up. With them little ham and steak, I mean, that was a luxury. If you saw one of the kids eating that, but I'm kind of right there with you. I think you know, Lunchables were. Now I like them as I'm an adult. I ain't gonna lie. You know, they got adult Lunchables. I don't know. They don't call them that, but that's basically what they are: meat and cheese trays. You know, and some of them throw a couple of them grapes or something in to make you feel healthy.
I just remember Shane. You know, the kids at school, they were like, "Oh, this cafeteria food sucks."
Yeah.
And every day I was like, "Damn, that looks a lot better than this stupid pizza thing, fake pizza I was making." You know.
Hell yeah. Boy, I miss some of the stuff there at school, though. Those pizzas, those rectangular pizzas, those were game changers. And they've kind of mimicked them as we've gotten older, but nobody's hit it. Because I guess half the ingredients were illegal now in the 20s, you know. So hey, maybe back then.
Real quick, Shane Jordan, you just gave us $5. Given the Aggies' injuries at running back, what do y'all think about the odds of beating Texas? And also, what are y'all's expectations for next year for A&M? I mean, I think still very good odds to beat Texas.
Yes.
Playing for house money, playing at home. If Texas loses that, I mean, God, after all this hype, good luck. And I think Texas is going to be favored, which I think will help the Aggies. And then next year, I think Texas A&M could be one of the best teams in the country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, same. I do, too. I think now, especially – when that window opens up, Mike, because you got a blueprint of what Mike Elko expects, what Texas A&M can bring to the table. I think it's going to be a lot easier to recruit, you know, because it's tough. Right. New coach, new system, and so many moving negative recruiting going on. Now you can say, hey, look, we're like four or five guys away from really competing for a national championship. Not saying that they can't do it this year. So, yeah, I think things are looking up there in Texas A&M for sure.
And then, all right, we just got one more donation from Chase. Got to leave one Thanksgiving side out, Shane. Mashed taters, cream corn. Oh, we already know green bean casserole. Shane hates green beans. See ya. Anything that resembles a vegetable, this man ain't putting his mouth.
Nope. Green bean casserole. Get out of here. You're fired.
Just eat one. Just eat one.
And your sister loves making that. You know, it's like her favorite dish.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
It blows my mind that people still eat it, you know, with all this good mashed potatoes and turkey and just like deviled eggs. And it's like, oh, that green thing? Nah, that's not going to, that'll be here tomorrow.
Well, speaking of that, we'll be here tomorrow, Shane, making our picks
for
the upcoming SEC weekend, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. So anything else, buddy, before we hop off the line?
No, I'm really mad at McDonald's right now, you know, but I kind of want a burger. So we'll see how that plays out tonight.
All right. We appreciate each and every one of you. I appreciate you, buddy. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls. Just pull the curtain down, Mike, as I talk.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.